Welcome back, sex fans. Today is Monday, March 24th, 2008, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me. This week, we continue our interview format, and I'm pleased to bring you part two of my conversation with Allie and John, the amazing people behind SwingerCast.com. Their site is chock full of great information about swinging. Their podcasts are nifty travelogues where they share their sexy encounters with real people at real, couples-only swing clubs. They introduce you to other swingers and share intimate stories of their sex life as they venture into the lifestyle. You won't want to miss these podcast people. Look for them at swingercast.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You'll find a link to this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, fetish wear, and gear right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Look for the My Stockroom tab. Shopping at Dr. Dick's Stockroom is just so damn fun and, I might add, easy. Yes, siree, sex fans, you can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up those marital aids you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts and leering salesmen in unsavory neighborhoods because you shop from the privacy of your own computer. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit My Stockroom today. Sex toys and props are just a click away. Before we begin today's exciting show, I'd like to remind you all of the toll-free, lickety-split, sex advice podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. As you all know by this time, this is a no-pressure, voicemail kind of setup. No human will answer your call, least of all me. So don't be shy, my pretties. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show. Alrighty then. I am absolutely delighted to welcome back John and Allie of SwingerCast.com. Hey, you guys. Thanks for joining us again. We got so much great feedback from last week's show, I am so glad that I had the foresight to invite you back for this second round. So, before we begin, would you introduce yourselves again and your website?
I'm John.
And I'm Allie.
And we are SwingerCast, swingercast.com. And we have a podcast that we've been producing for the last couple of years, wherein we kind of give a glimpse into the life of a couple of naughty modern-day swingers.
I would like to continue where we dropped off last time and ask you guys, how do people handle issues like jealousy?
Oh, jealousy.
Why do you get to answer all the man's questions?
No.
He said.
Okay. Why don't I get to answer any?
Okay, you do the jealousy.
No, you do the jealousy.
Because it's a girl issue.
Is it?
Yeah, because men aren't jealous. Okay, I'll take a stab at it. Well, with the jealousy, I mean, yes, it does happen. And yes, you know, that green monster does rise its ugly head into the lifestyle. You know, in most of our experiences, Dr. Dick, are in a club. And, you know, a lot of times if that does happen in a club, couples are encouraged to take that outside. Uh-huh. But I have seen it, you know, in clubs and other places, and it is talked about a lot. But for me personally, I mean, I get turned on when Allie is turned on, and when she's really having a good time. I don't care if it's with another guy, another girl, another couple, a foursome, an eightsome, whatever it is. If she's turned on, I'm turned on, mm-hmm. and I got no problem with it. At all.
Yeah, I think if a couple does their work in communicating before they even consider getting into the lifestyle, that the chances of jealousy are diminished if you're communicating and you know and you're in and you're on the same page and you know each other and you're communicating well, then there's never really a problem of jealousy.
So the answer, I mean, the secret then is to set limits for how you, as individuals and as a couple, would mm-hmm. be involving yourselves with other people who might be at the swing party or at the club.
Exactly.
And the most successful couples go at the pace of the slowest person, you know, involved. Mm-hmm. So if a couple doesn't really want to full swap, or if they don't want to kiss, you know, some people don't like to kiss or uh-huh. hold hands or whatever uh-huh. it is, those limits need to be respected and not change the rules during a play session, you know, ever.
Yeah.
They're often reevaluated, you know,
exactly.
afterwards, and because it's all about communication. It's communication before you even consider starting this lifestyle, while you're there at the club, and while you're and then afterwards as well. It's all, you know, it's communicating with your partner.
And just as a side note, Dr. Dick, that's how we got started in this. We would go to clubs or go out with another couple and then come home and have incredible sex
uh-huh.
and talk about what we did. And I was like, damn it, we ought to be recording this stuff.
And bottling it.
Right.
And what we enjoyed and how, you know, what we thought about it and, you know. And a lot of couples start out with boundaries, you know, and like I said, as they get more comfortable and each gets more comfortable, they kind of lift some of those, but never in an actual play situation.
I wrote to a couple once, I said, it's of the utmost importance that you guys decide in advance what your limits are. A good number of otherwise healthy marriages flounder at this point. Have a clear and frank exchange with each other on the ground rules of your swinging and then stick to them. Negotiating mm-hmm. a change to the rules of your engagement during the swing is a really bad idea. That's not to say that your ground rules won't develop over time. Just don't try to adjust them while they are in play.
And I'm going to say this now. Are you sure you're not a swinger?
You know, this is, again, this is from my experience as a gay man and, you know, playing with multiple partners. And sometimes the multiple partners are part of twosomes, couples. Mm-hmm. And this is something that we learn very early on as young gay puppies and about how to honor that kind of stuff. And it's really a bad thing if it goes south. It can ruin friendships. It can ruin relationships. It can ruin everything. And, you know, like, oh, yeah, these are my limits right here, and I promise that. But then when it gets hot and heavy in the moment, then all that stuff goes out the window, and I just don't think that that's fair. And I understand the heat of the moment, but, you know, people need to honor, you know, the commitments that they make, at least until they're changed.
Yeah, it's a lot about respect.
May I ask how long you guys have been swingers?
I'm guessing it's been about 6 years now. We say five, but I think it's probably about six years now.
Mm. How old were you when you started? Is that indiscreet?
Yeah, that's discreet, but no. We've been married for 10 years before
wow.
we started swinging, and we were best friends before we even got married, and were together, you know, before that. So we've had lots of years of communication and talking, and we had an incredible sex life before. Now it's like unbelievably, I can't imagine. I never would imagine that we would be closer together and that this whole experience could possibly enhance our relationship. And it's helping in other areas of our life as well. I mean, we're communicating on all levels of our life. This whole swinging experience and adventure has brought us.
I think
tremendously
that's
closer
really,
together.
Really marvelous. How about you, John? Any regrets, anything that you would do differently if you were about to start it over again today?
I would have started when I was a lot younger. That's my only regret.
Yeah, me too.
I wish we would have been doing this when we were in our 20s. But you know, it takes the time to mature and grow as a couple together to be able to do a lot of this stuff. But I have no regrets. I have lots of things still that I'd like to do. You know, we're going to a big get together, a big festival in the end of July, and it's called Swing Fest. And
I saw that it's in Florida.
Yeah,
at the end of July. What's wrong with you people?
Well, we won't be having many clothes on.
I guess, all right, good for you.
Right.
All right.
Right. Yeah, we'll be hanging out at the nude beach down there. And
it's going to be exciting.
I wish that we could have, you know, travel more and meet more people. That's, you know, but, you know, you have to make a living and you have to, you know.
Right.
Other things take time too, but we have a lot of fun, and I don't have any regrets at all.
So how did you get started? I mean, you kind of dance around that a little bit. Was it one particular event that you were at and said, you know, this is, let's just do it, or?
It was my birthday.
Was it really? How great.
It was my birthday about 6 years ago, and
Six or 7 years ago.
It was a while back. It was my birthday. Let's start that again. It was my birthday, and Allie said, "Hey, we're going to go out, and we just need to stop by this person's house to pick up some things." It was, you know, happened to be like right down the street actually from where we live, and Allie had gotten an escort, and I totally was surprised. I walked in there, and I had these two girls. They made margaritas, and they were in lingerie. And she had a hot tub in her home, and you know, I was just, you know, that was our first time to really, you know.
No wonder you've got a smile on your face.
Absolutely.
But we had talked about it, and you know, when we were having sex and fantasized about it. And actually, I didn't have a birthday present for him, and it just happened that I was going to get someone to come over and give a massage, you know, a couple's massage. And
right.
Somehow I got over to the escort, and I just saw this
Which
one particular...
Which is a fine line between, as we
all know. Yeah. And I started thinking, could I do this? Could we do this? And then I just lucked upon the most incredible woman, and she had a similar number as mine. And so I knew she was in my neighborhood, so I was curious about that, and I called her, and we started talking, and it was just the perfect situation. We became really good friends just talking. I, you know, forgot she was an escort, and she really wanted to help this happen, and I went over and I met her, and she helped me and plan this incredible time.
And it was probably a couple years later after that. Maybe a year later after that, that we decided we would go to a club.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to a club, and our first time we were very, very, very nervous, and we didn't do anything with anybody else. We just played with each other, and and we didn't even know how to get our clothes off. So we actually played strip darts at the club.
No kidding.
And I won. And I got
Allie
naked.
Yeah. We were just standing at the, you know, in clubs, a lot of times they'll have like a dance area, and it just seems like a regular club. And then they'll have playrooms in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And we were standing thinking, how are we going to get our clothes off and get back there and not look like what did you say,
a sore
penis or what?
Yeah, a sore hard on.
Sore hard on. So there was that dartboard, and that's how we got our clothes off and felt comfortable and going back there. That's how we pretty much got into it, but it was a lot of communicating beforehand, and we knew each other and what we wanted to do.
Right.
So
Which is really remarkable, because a lot of the people that communicate with me and that I see in my private practice, both individuals and couples, haven't a clue about how to talk to one another about their fantasies, even, let alone going that extra mile and actually inviting someone to participate in their intimate life together. And it just seems so odd to me that here we are, human beings with all this potential for sexual fantasy, and actually reveling in it privately, but we don't even talk to our partners about it. It just kind of breaks my heart.
Yeah. Life's too short.
Much too. I was going to ask, is there room for fetish-oriented swingers, like people who are into different kinds of sexual activity, like BDSM and whatnot?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, there's a lot of crossover in our community, in the swinger community. There's, we're just like anybody else. I mean, just like any other group of people, there's fetishes of all sorts built in.
So let's say my partner and I were interested in a particular fetish, whatever that might be, and we wanted to connect with other like-minded swingers. How best would we connect with this more specific subset of people in the lifestyle? Say we decided to look online and we went to one of those swinger-oriented profile or dating sites you mentioned last week. I suppose it would be wise for us to clearly specify in our profile what we were looking for, or even spell out what we don't want, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's the same with, if you're bi, you put you're bi female, bi male,
right.
And and they also have groups within the sites for different fetishes or people that are interested in that, and you could also join that.
You know, baby, I saw the other day, I'm just telling her, Allie, something now, you can cut this out if you want, but I saw the other day this group of older swingers, like swingers in their 60s or 70s, and I was encouraged by that.
Yeah.
There's so much more to come, John.
Oh,
thank
yes.
God.
Yes.
One of the things I noticed when I was moseying around your website, swingercast.com, besides your podcasts, is that you guys have a wealth of resources for your audience. One of the coolest things I noticed was a glossary of general sex terms as well as more specific swinger terms that you've put together. I really want to commend you on that. I mean, not everyone would automatically know what ACDC means or BBW for that matter. And since profiles and forums of every stripe use these sorts of abbreviations, it's great to find a resource near to hand. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I had no idea when we started swinging.
And if you make some fatal mistakes along those lines, that could be very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you want to talk about some of the terms?
Yeah,
or?
One that I did not know. And I'll be honest with you, the one I did not know was ticket. And I'm right here, and I'm going to read it. It's a ticket is a person, usually a woman, brought to a swing party solely to enable the man to gain entrance. The ticket generally has no intention to swing or is not free to swing. So that suggests to me that single males are not invited or not encouraged to participate in the swinging lifestyle, yes?
No. There are lots of single men who are very successful in the lifestyle.
I see.
In terms of clubs, sometimes clubs choose not to allow single men. Other clubs do choose to allow single men in the club. One time that I've seen it really dramatically, and we spoke about it on one of our podcasts, was when there was a woman there who felt like she was just a ticket.
I see.
And she felt like her husband, that's really the sad part, was her husband had brought her there just so that he could, have his jollies and
right.
And she was just his way in. And
that's so
a
sad.
Terrible, terrible feeling.
Yeah.
But we don't run into that a lot at all. And that's another, you can pretty much tell that right off the bat. If someone is there as a ticket.
Hmm. that would be really obvious, it seems to me. Or if someone is being coerced into it, you know, emotionally coerced into it, like, come on, honey, or, you know, this is something that, you know, I really want to do, and if you really love me, you would do it with me.
Take one for the team.
Or just going into a situation like, and I've certainly seen this in, you know, the gay equivalent, where, you know, a couple arrives and one partner just disappears and drops his partner, and, you know, is out having a good time and doesn't even care if the other one, his partner, is adjusting well or not to the situation, which is bad etiquette at the least. Good.
You know, it's true, because, you know, what turns me on about I like to see another couple. If I see a couple that is in love and together and, you know, can laugh and they're having fun and they're smiling and they're doing things together, that's a turn on.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it's not just merely bumping parts. It's
right.
Yeah. That's really important, it seems to me, for lots of people who might consider moving in this direction, is that they don't have to relinquish their personality. They don't have to become this wild and crazy kind of couple. They can be themselves. They can, you know, it's a way of being something more than what they already are without diminishing what they already are.
Yes, that's great.
That's right, and there's also room for the woman to get on that stripper pole and show it all off,
if that's what she wants to do. The freedom to express yourself and open up sexually in a safe atmosphere where you're not being judged. I mean, there are a lot of different ways swingers what they want out of it. It's up to the individual couple, but right. We don't judge. Say if I'm not into BDSM. You know, I'm not going to judge another couple.
Right. In my experience as a gay man, I realize that there's a great deal of ageism and body stereotyping. If you're not a gym bunny, and if you're not under a particular age, you are less successful in the sexual arena. Is that operative in the swinger lifestyle, would you say?
I think more people are interested in personality.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, women who might have body issues because of their weight, or they have had a C-section or something like that, they don't have to be concerned that somebody would say, oh my God, you know, you don't belong here.
Go ahead, John.
No, I don't think, it's, you know, going to a swing club or just meeting swingers in general, it's just like, you know, meeting anybody else in the general population.
Uh-huh.
You know, go into a grocery store on any given day, and that's, you know, kind of like what you'll see at a club. You have some that are a little chubby, some that are, you know, gym bunnies, like you said, and others that are just, you know, height, weight, proportionate.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest thing is confidence, you know.
Right.
I've met people that are really, really, really big, and people that are really, really, really thin, but the one thing that they had in common was that they had confidence, and they didn't have the body issues, you know.
And possibly being in a place where you can see a whole bunch of different bodies interacting together would help one let go of some, you know, unfortunate body concerns that he or she might have. I think that's a wonderful reason for being sexual or being nude with a bunch of other people. It just, you know, helps break down those barriers that we self-impose so frequently.
Yes, I've talked to a lot of swingers and people that we know. They always say, you know, if it's between a really knockout, gorgeous, hot-bodied couple with no personality and one that's not so, you know, physically fit with personality, that the personality wins out all the time.
I'm just going to be so successful then.
Yeah. But there is some, you know, there is, seems to be a lot of a younger crowd getting involved in swinging now.
Oh, that's good to know.
And
because it's more, you know, out in the open, it seems to me,
right,
than ever before.
And And I've noticed that they also have been catering their parties to certain ages. Overall, age doesn't seem to be a problem.
There's a couple of things on your website that I want to call attention to. First of all, there's that wonderful video that you suggest is required viewing for every swinger.
Yes.
It is so beautiful. I loved it. I thought it was particularly how it ends. I won't give the ending away, but absolutely how amazing. And the other thing, the sex history show. But you have to just mention a few words about that before we go.
The Sex History Show is another podcast that Allie and I and another scholarly gentleman, Randall, produce. And it's we try to make it as regular as possible, but there's a lot of good information on there. It's just a short, quick podcast about the history of sex. And we've tackled issues from where did Valentine's Day come. We have one coming up about sex and Western expansion on the...
Wow.
Lewis and Clark Trail.
Oh, no kidding. How wonderful. I loved it. I'm a big fan of history, and a sexual perspective on history is something that is often missing, and I was just delighted to find that. Well, thank you very much. Listen, you guys, it's been such a pleasure having so much of your time. Thank you for being with us. Again, could you mention your names and your website before you leave?
I'm Allie.
And I'm John, and we are swingercast.com.
Thanks, y'all.
Thank you.
See you in cyberspace. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad that you could join me. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, Dr. Dick. That's me. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really fun for yourself and all the pervs in your life. We have a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Not to worry. Take a look at my monthly ever-so-popular sex toy awareness feature right there on drdicksexadvice.com. It's chock-full of swell gift-giving ideas. You'll find a link to Dr. Dick's Stockroom right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads My Stockroom. And look for Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. All you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice, and don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex is even better. Over and out.